Good morning. It is July 3rd, Friday, 2020. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network, sponsored by nobody. I hope everyone's having a great day. Hope everybody's ready for the holiday. I'm pretty excited. A lot of rules are being implied for, or put in place, I should say, for this holiday weekend. Bars are closed. But they're not really. I think they just moved the bar stools. I mean, I don't know. Canceled the fireworks. Masks everywhere. We've kind of, seems like the numbers are rising. Areas are struggling. I think they're trying to avoid closing everything back down. But they're pretty much making it pretty inconvenient to come to the beach. But that's how it is. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But me, for today, I had a great plan. I was going to come in, do a podcast this morning, share some thoughts this morning. I'd kind of taken a break for the week. I just was trying to let the podcast kind of simmer a bit and see, you know, I'm not getting a huge response. That's fine. I'm going to still continue to do the podcast. But I remember there was a time in my life where I was going through some shit and I just wanted to listen or read something that was going to be, that I could relate to. And not the typical stuff written down, you know, this, but just people that are like sober but still struggling and, you know, going through those doorways of understanding, you know, spirituality was one of them. Sober, just the fact of what does that even mean? You know, I thought I just had a drinking problem. I solved that the first day, right? The day I put down the drink, I solved that problem. But man, did a whole bunch of other problems show up. And I just wanted to do a podcast and chat about it, you know. If someone's out there going through the same thing, I know people are going through the same thing. I know people around me that are sober that are going through the same thing. And if I could just share a little bit about that, I thought, you know, that'd be a great podcast. And so that's what I'm doing. And I hope everyone's having an awesome day. Ready for the holidays. It's going to be great. Today I am. They're for squeezing. It's a good idea. Now so recently I was on my Facebook and a guy had posted a thing about wanting to know if anybody wanted to come on a Zoom call and talk about spirituality and racism. And I was like, I do. I want to talk about that. It's great topics. I've talked about it on other podcasts. I had my buddy Kiefer Sunborn on. We're both... it was funny when I had Kiefer on. Kiefer's a friend of mine. He's been on several of my podcasts, and we'd even had the conversation about, you know, racism. I'm like, how come when I say, yeah, my buddy Kiefer Sunborn, I have to say, you know, my friend of color? You know, why is it that it's important? When did it become important that we identify one another? You know, hey, my buddy Tom, he's a white guy. You know, when did that even, so we'd kind of had a conversation about this a little bit earlier and then all this kind of stuff hit. And so, you know, him and I had a great sit down and chat, and I love the guy. And, you know, I see color, I guess. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't see color, but it's not an issue to me. I met Kiefer and his son at a Panera. We were at Panera getting lunch, and I saw Keith and his son sitting at a table, and they both had their noses deep into laptops. And I'm like, I wonder what those guys are up to. So I just went over there. Just went up and said, hey, good morning, what's going on? And they both looked at me like, what the fuck's up, man? And I said, what you guys working on? I said, looks like you're doing music. And they said, we are. And that would be the beginning of a great relationship with both those guys and his daughter. Turns out his son and my son went to school together. They're both into music. I did a podcast on the RoboSocial podcast. I had them both on and the daughter. They played music. We jammed. It was just, I mean, the idea of not going over there and talking to those guys because they're a different color would have broken my heart. They're just great guys, and Keith and I are still great friends. Love him. Love his son. Love all of them. Just great people. And the idea of missing out on that would have really been a bummer. So the topic of racism, you know, and I've shared this, and I'm not going to get into it. I want to go on this guy's podcast and share what I think. But the topic of spirituality, now that's a whole different thing. And how, for me, spirituality works as far as racism goes. I mean, it's real easy to me. You know, the word is love. Love everybody. Color, size, hair, whatever. Just love everybody. That's not that hard, right? I mean, it doesn't happen automatically. It takes effort. I have to make a decision. I have to make a choice that I want to put everything aside and I just want to love everybody. That's it. Case closed. Shut the door. But, you know, we're all different kinds of people, right? And, but for me, that's what it's about. You know, spirituality, when I first got sober, was always something that I was in search of. Like, oh, I'm going to go find spiritual, like a spiritual awakening, spirituality. Hi, where do I show up? I'm here. Hand me over my spirituality. I'm like, I'm not getting it. But what I've learned in this program and in programs is that spirituality is a byproduct of a lot of work. Work a week ago, work a year ago, work a minute ago, work that I'm working on right in the moment. You know, spirituality for me is freedom. We have this wall of self-centered fear around. I have a wall of self-centered fear that's constantly around me. If the wall comes down, spirituality, the realness of life is there. You know, that moment where I don't care what someone's doing. I don't care about color. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is just peace and happiness and love. Now, I have glimmers or flickers of this moment. And you know where I learned about all of this? Running, suffering. If I live a life where I get, if my life was everything that I wanted, I got without any work, that would be absolute hell. I don't know if I've told the story on this podcast. I know I've told the story about this on Joe Rogan, where he talks about he had this buddy who is a, I don't know, most people I'm sure know who Joe Rogan is. I love Joe Rogan. He's great. But he, you know, he's a comedian and he's friends with other comedians. And he had this guy on who does a puppet skit. And in the puppet skit, he is the devil. So the head of the chapter of the Satanic Church of Southern California invited this guy to come do a skit for his daughter's wedding. And the guy calls Joe. He's like, hey, this guy's invited or hired me to do this skit. Go with me because I don't know what to expect. You know, this is the leader of the Satanic Church's daughter getting married. And Joe's like, yeah, I'll go. And I might, I'm trying to tell the story as best as I can remember, but the gist of it was they show up. It's amazing. And Joe ends up talking to this guy and says, dude, what's the deal? You know, I was expecting all this stuff. And he says, you know, no, our philosophy is do whatever makes you happy. So if I do whatever makes me happy, that's kind of a satanic lifestyle. According to the leader of the Southern California's Satanic Church, he's like, if you want to live a satanic lifestyle, you and a friend climb a mountain to get to the top, our philosophy is push that guy down and finish first and win. Win. Get the glory. Where more of a Christian lifestyle would be, you put your hand out and you help your brother or sister. And let's finish together, man. Winning's not important. What's important is that we finish together. I help you. You know, my buddy Carlos and I, we run. Some days I'm faster. Some days he's faster. But we always wait for each other. And when the other person finishes, we say, good job, man. Great. You know, you wait. You don't take the glory. I don't know if that's a satanic lifestyle, but it's definitely the opposite of a surrendered, I don't even want to use the word Christian, but just a surrendered kind of life. And that little story really was an eye-opening story for me, because I've been living this self-centered life all my life. I live it all day. It's these moments where that wall comes down, you know, whether it's suffering. And honestly, anything that's inconvenient to me is suffering. I just had to go back and get my phone again. I've used this stupid phone story before as an example, but I drove to work here not realizing I had forgotten my phone. I was casual, letting people in traffic. Get here, realize I fucking forgot my phone, and all of a sudden hell breaks loose. I'm driving, I'm cutting through traffic, people aren't going fast enough. That level of arrogance shows up. Arrogance is like the opposite of spirituality. So when the topic of spirituality showed up, I'm like, dude, I know how it works for me. And it's not that it's working. It's a lot of work working on the other shit that hides spirituality. I've told the story before. I always compared my spirituality if somebody walks up and says, hey, man, here's some keys to a car. Pulls the car in my driveway, takes the keys, throws them in my garage, and fills my garage full of boxes. I've got a car, spirituality, but I can't use it because I've covered all the keys up with so many boxes of self that it makes the car unavailable. So it wasn't trying to figure out how, like, to make another key. It's really about how do I clear out the boxes. You know, being humble, trying to help others, suffering, being inconvenienced. You know, those are the things you start removing out of the garage. And then the next thing you know, you got the keys and you can drive the car. Now, sometimes we just clear a path to the keys. So, and that's kind of sort of what I've done. I cleared a path to the keys. The keys are there. I can use the car, but the garage is still full of a lot of shit. And that shit pops up. That pain. And, you know, the nice thing about getting sober and working in a program is I can recognize it. I know, you know, this morning, fuck, I forgot my phone. Now I'm going to be an asshole. I already knew what's going to happen. I'm feeling uneasy. I'm feeling inconvenienced. I'm not feeling humble. I'm not feeling at peace. I'm not feeling full of spirituality. I'm just feeling inconvenienced, but I know exactly why. I know it. And I guess in the end, those are the kind of things that unless you understand it, and I understand what works for me. I'm not saying I understand what works for everybody. I know what goes on with me. But those are the kind of things that could eventually possibly lead you down a path that makes you pick up a drink. Or not makes you, but justifies it. And, you know, that's the goal. We don't want to drink. I don't want to drink. Because then it's fucking the complete shit show. And we don't want that. Does that make any sense? Do people understand what I'm saying? It's easy when you put down that drink to be under the, I put down the drink umbrella and, you know, be protected from all a lot of shit because, you know, it's a new lifestyle and it feels great. A lot of people are posting things like, you know, 3 months sober, which I get it. But, you know, that's under that kind of that freshly stopped drinking umbrella. It just feels good. But when you get like 5 years, 5 years is really the sticky point. Because you've done so well. I know for me, I'd done so well at 5 years. I was so excited. But I really didn't do much of the work because I didn't show up to this program or to AA at the time for any of that stuff. All I wanted to do was admit I had a drinking problem and not drink and then get all the praise for it. And that's fine. But the problem is that there's a lot of stuff in the middle. And I remember even in my first year, I went through all the steps. I had a sponsor. I had several sponsors. I talked about Ron M. who grabbed me by the first night and says, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. But I've had, you know, he was my temporary sponsor for a while, I got another guy to be my sponsor. And we sat down, went through all the steps and really grinded it out. But I just, my brain wasn't even ready. My brain wasn't even ready. And, you know, 5 years and I'm lost. I'm just holding on. And I think if I had probably just gone to the same meetings and done the same thing I was doing, I probably could have lasted for a while. But the problem is that I moved. And I wasn't at those meetings anymore. And I was starting to go to new meetings. And it just started exposing the real fact that I hadn't really done any work. I would pick and choose. I remember doing a four-step. I didn't do the work. You know, I had a friend early in sobriety and he says he was going to be my sponsor. And I may have shared this, but he's like, all right, meet me on Tuesday, 2 o'clock, bring a red notebook and, I'll see you then. And I was like, oh God, you know, it's gotta be a red notebook and I gotta be at the, you know, at this time. And, he had all these rules. He's got to do this. And he basically started tearing me down. You know, you're an asshole, you're a self-centered asshole, you know, you need to write that down. And I'm like, dude. And he was too extreme. I said, listen, man, I'd rather just kind of be friends and I'll find a different sponsor. And I've heard stories from other people he did the same thing to. And we, you know, it was easy at the time to think, man, what's the fuck his problem? But it is, you know, looking back on it, it is important, you know. We've done everything that we have wanted up until this point. Or we wouldn't be at this point, right? So my friend's philosophy was like, listen, if you can't follow these small, simple instructions and start doing what somebody else is asking of you instead of what you want, you're not ready to get sober. And I'm like, I wouldn't understand that for years. But it's true. You want to get sober, do this. And then, you know, over the years, I've sponsored people. You know, when I reached out to my sponsor, Matt, I was like, you know, can you be my sponsor? He's like, absolutely. Call me every single day and we'll see what happens. I was like, shit, that's easy. I'm great at tasks like that. You know, I'd like to think that I was ready to start doing exactly what somebody else said and not exactly what I wanted to do. But, you know, when I look back at it, you know, Matt was kind of a big deal and I really wanted to be a friend with a guy that was kind of a big deal. So I did what he said. I did what he suggested only because I wanted to be in a relationship with him, in a friendship with him. Not as much about the sobriety, but that one call, I used to call it my 7-number prayer, would expose a lot of shit on my part. You know, how self-centered I was, how if something didn't go my way, how quickly I would fly off the handle. Just thinking, you know, I would call and if he didn't answer, I would get upset. Then I would show him. And then I would start calling like at 6 in the morning when I knew he was sleeping. I'll show him. I know he's not awake. I'll call, but I'm not going to talk to him. It was weird. And I, you know, I've said this before. I don't even know if he knew what he was doing to me. But it exposed a lot of stuff. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Still, to this day. Spirituality comes and goes, man. You know, it can be as simple as just forgetting your phone, and then that spirituality is out the window. You know, I think of what's an extreme case of life. You know, the way I was the day before I came into this program or came into a program. You know, I could have been a lot worse, but I was pretty fucking extreme. I was doing exactly what I wanted, drinking every day, didn't care, pushing everybody aside. Or you could be the far other way, like maybe to the left, which is like these monks I saw that live on top of this mountain. I saw this special in 60 Minutes about these monks, and they don't even talk. There's no phones. They don't have heat. It's just basically a life of suffering, all so that they can be closer to God. There's two extremes. Can I find peace somewhere in there? You know, I don't want to live, you know, I watched this 60 Minutes special about these monks. I'm like, God, maybe I'd like to do that, man. How, you know, you don't talk, you just pray all day and you live on a mountain. And but then I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. But I don't want to do the other thing either, which was a total self-centered life of drinking and partying and being a total loser. So I'm just trying to figure out where I can find a spot somewhere in there where I understand what the guys on the mountain are doing and why they're doing it. And also remember where I came from. I don't know. Listen, I got to go to work. I hope everyone's having a great day. Stay safe for the 4th of July. Try not to have to apologize for any bad behavior. And we'll chat soon. Peace. And surrender to me. You're